Hebrews chapter number 4, if you would please. Hebrews chapter number 4. And let me say this, Miss Barbara Hicks, I know that she will be watching. Her and Daniel have no idea how much of a blessing they are. She calls me after some services, not everyone. I guess not everyone is always a blessing, but she calls me after some services. And with all that she's got going, her and Daniel and psoriatic arthritis and all kind of other things going on as she's gotten older, a lot of you folks don't even know who she is because she's not able to come because of her son. They set that thing up just like it's church and turn on that computer and they sit there in front of their TV and watch that thing for every single service.
Amen.
And it's just a tremendous blessing to me when she'll make that phone call and then she'll leave a little speech on there to encourage. And so I want you to know, Ms. Hicks, I got the phone call. I didn't have time to call you back, but I love you and I appreciate you and I'm glad God brought you into our life here.
Amen.
And now Daniel's saying, and what about me?
Amen.
And you too, Daniel.
Amen.
So Hebrews chapter 4, continuing our study on prayer. I'll try to go through this and not be too awful long so that we can have time for our graduation ceremony. Hebrews chapter number 4. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 15. 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because he's up there already in a place, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Brother Larry, you pray, ask God to bless the service. Would you please, sir?
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity and privilege, Lord, to be here tonight. Lord, thank you for the door to be open this place. Lord, thank you for what is being taught and preached in this pulpit. Lord, thank you for the word of God and our preacher. And Lord, I pray you continue to keep him healthy and ahead of your body and be with him tonight. I pray you give him the power to preach. May our hearts be open. I pray you be with us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. We covered this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 that God is able to provide all grace for whatever your situation might be. And we talked about that this morning, saying that it's important that God give you the grace to get through some of the things that will be necessary for you to get through. Here, the Lord says He can provide for you the mercy that is necessary to get you through at the time. We don't need justice. We need mercy. And we're glad when God shows mercy to us and doesn't give us what we deserve. We oftentimes will say, well, if God gave me what I deserved, I'd be in hell with my back broken, so on and so forth. But the fact of the matter is, we don't really mean what we're saying. Oftentimes, we know that judicially, that that's what we deserve, but God has already shown us mercy by delivering us from a place that we're no longer going to go. Once you're saved, you're guaranteed not to go there. But God oftentimes shows us mercy in other areas. Sometimes you need to just ask God to give you mercy or God to have mercy on individuals. One of the things that you might want to consider, even praying for your enemies. I know this is going to sound strange. But to pray that God would have mercy on them. That God would not be so quick to judge their sin. Sometimes we're interested in God judging their sin, but we want Him to be slow in judging our sin. But one of the greatest things is, as David says about the Lord, he says, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." So one of the things God does sometimes is He's not as quick to act as we are. And that's not always a bad thing. Sometimes it's good when God is merciful and He's long-suffering. Those two things seem to go together. Now, I realize that God should judicially punish sin as soon as it occurs, but in my own personal life, I know that He has been merciful to me when I deserve judgment. God has withheld that judgment, and then He's been merciful by not putting on me the judgment I deserve, but kind of give me a little reprieve, give me a probation instead of a solitary confinement. Or give me solitary confinement instead of the electric chair. Or give me a beating in a different kind of a way instead of one that I might have crumbled underneath. The Bible teaches you in the book of Hebrews, He said, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." I'm glad that the Lord knows when to stop applying the whip. You say, why? Because He's merciful. He's able to provide mercy for you in whatever condition. Notice, here's the promise. I'm able to come boldly because why? You need to be able to come there to find grace. Mercy, though, is conditional. Notice what he says. We have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Yet let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. What's the mercy being conditional therefore? Mercy is conditional based on whether or not you really feel like you need it.
Amen.
That requires a humbleness of heart. That requires me and you to look in the mirror, and instead of being proud and arrogant and throwing our shoulders back and sticking our chest back and saying, I'll take whatever you put on me. I can handle it. Just go ahead. It's humbling yourself, bowing your head and saying, Lord, please have mercy on me. I can't take it anymore. Please have mercy on me. Please have mercy on me. I'm begging you. You have to humble yourself and tell the Lord, I need mercy.
Amen.
When do you need mercy? Sometimes you need mercy in time of sorrow. I'll give you five times here. We're going to move on. Grace isn't conditional, but mercy is. When do I need it? In time of sorrow. Time of great difficulty, you need mercy. You say, why? Sorrow can crush you like an egg under a giant's heel.
Amen.
Sometimes you can go through such great sorrow that if the Lord doesn't grant you mercy, it'll bury you. I'm positive, Brother Bill Terrell, who I told you about this morning, I'm positive that the sorrow of his broken heart and, of course, his physical condition, with his wife passing on just a couple of months ago or so, I'm positive that played into the situation where this morning, when they go in there, he winds up passing away. You say, why? Sorrow is a difficult thing. And what do you think about the Lord, about him dying? I think the Lord showed him mercy. I think the Lord showed my dad mercy. Say, oh boy, here you go with another dad story. Okay, well, let me just tell you this. My dad's disease could have lasted a very long time. But instead, what happened when it came time for him to go on? The Lord put him in the hospital, and 7 days later, he was absent from the body and present with the Lord. You say, what do you think? I think it was merciful instead of him having to lay there and suffer and suffer. You say, how are you able to thank God for that? I thank God that he didn't make him lay there as a vegetable and shrivel up and suffer and bleed and have to have somebody change him and take him. Thank God was merciful to him to take him out when he took him out. That's how I can thank God for it. You say, why? I don't know why he had to go when he had to go. God said it's time for him to go, so he went. But the bottom line is this. Was God merciful? Yeah. I don't know what would have happened if he'd have stayed around. It might have killed my mama too to try to take care of him. I think God was merciful when it came to my friend. When Jim died, I remember sitting there with Jim, sitting there and thinking about what was going on and knowing the condition of what he was going through and probably the pain that he was going to have to go through. And the doctor's already saying, we'll set aside morphine and we'll set aside Dilaudid and we'll set aside this and we'll put enough stuff in him where he won't be able to feel the pain because the cancer had begun to move around because of the Agent Orange and that kind of a deal. And I remember sitting there. I never one time heard him say, P, I'm really hurting. Can you get me some more medicine? I can't take this pain anymore. And then in a short time period, after a couple of weeks of being up there with him, the Lord took him out. He said, what is that? Merciful, merciful. God could have let him sit there until he shriveled up about 50 or 60 pounds and then going through all that suffering and pain and all. God took him out. You say, what is that? Merciful. God knows when to do that. And another time you need him is in sickness. Sometimes in sickness you need God to be merciful to you. Sickness can really wear you out, man. I mean, as you get older, man, just a bad case of the sniffles can make you feel pretty bad. You ever notice that, man? When you get old, you get careful about being around people that have colds. Now, you young bucks, y'all don't think nothing of it. You shake everybody's hands. You touch all the railings. You ride down the escalator. You get on the plane. You touch everything, man. When you get old, you kind of like think everything's got cooties. You say, why? You don't want to get sick. Getting sick, man, you don't heal up like you used to. And stuff hurts more than it used to hurt. You didn't think, you thought your knees were messed up from playing ball or whatever it might be, but get a bad case of the flu, man, and oh man, them knees can hurt you. And you say, what are you saying? The Lord needs to be merciful to you when you're sick and not let it just take you over. I start praying for mercy. I start begging for mercy if you get sick. You say, why? Getting a fever? Give me some Tylenol. Thank God for whoever made Tylenol. You say, well, it's bad for you and all that. Don't take it then. No problem. If I got a way to make the fever go away, I'm taking it. If it's legal to take. Don't worry, I'm not going to move to Denver and try to use something out there. You get that in a second. Well, you could go out there, you know, when you're sick and all that. Yeah, y'all get me a plane ticket. I got the flu. I got to go to Denver, the Mile High City. Yeah, you've lost your mind, man. I don't care if them people do think it's legal. There's just some things Christians ought to do. They say ought not do. They say drinking's legal, too. Does that mean it's all right for you to do it? Oh, well, there's the grumble. We were having a good time till you said that, preacher. If it's legal, the Lord provides it for you to take it so you don't have to deal with the pain. You say, what is that? It's merciful that you have drugs and stuff available to you that they didn't have just as little as 100 years ago. There's this kid that's down south here, and she's got a bad bacterial infection and stuff like that. And the doctor said, no bones about it. If it was not for the antibiotics they have now, she'd have died from this. Mm-hmm. Period. You say, well, we had no way to cure it before. We didn't even know it existed. But now that we know it exists, if you didn't have a certain kind of an antibiotic thing to be able to give them, the kid would die. You say, well, what do you think that is? I think it's merciful. I think it's merciful that you got right down the road here, you got one of them things you can pull into the thing and it costs you an arm, a leg, 3 chickens, 4 cows, and a couple of bears if you got them in the backyard. But it'll cost you everything, but you can pull in there and you can get some immediate help for something. You can call a doctor and get somebody to you right. You say, what is that? I think it's merciful. Another time you need God to be merciful to you is in time of persecution. You say, why? We all deserve to be persecuted more than we are. But I mean, we don't really have real persecution. If real persecution comes to this country, I don't know how any of us will stand. I'm not going to be so bold as to stand up here and say, well, you know, I'll be able to do so and so. That's easy to say. They start pulling your fingernails out. It's easy to say when they're holding a knife to your wife or your kids' throats. It's easy for you to say when you haven't experienced what people in other countries have experienced from being a Christian. We talked to a guy one time. He said it's true. I don't know if it's true or not, but they put him in the bottom of a prison cell where he was at over there in Russia and tied his ankles to a brass pole there, a wooden pole, and they took a brass pipe and they beat the bottom of his feet just for meanness sake. And did that for a couple of weeks and then let him go. He could hardly walk for several months. Busted all the capillaries and stuff in the bottom of his feet. They didn't break his feet or nothing. Just beat his feet. You say, why? Just for being a Christian. Just tied him up, put him in the cell, told him he was never going to get out, and told him he was never going to go anywhere, and they were going to eventually kill him. And they tied him and laid him on his back and tied his feet up there. And they said they just took that brass pipe and just beat the bottom of his feet and then left him hanging there from his feet. You say, what is that? Lord, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. I can't imagine what it'd be like to be the Apostle Paul after he's already been whipped. Has any of you ever seen anybody caned? I mean, really caned? And they take that caning thing. What they do is they actually strap a piece of leather around the person's kidneys and around the lower part of the buttocks there, and they expose that part of the buttocks. And the guy that does it, he does it with something like a brim buster, like a long time cane pole. And the guy's an expert at it. I mean, he can flick the fly off of a fence post at 100 yards. He's an expert at making that thing. And they call out the punishment. And when they lay that thing over there, the object is to try to hit the same spot two or three times in a row. And then that skin separates like that and opens up and blood begins to spurt out and stuff like that. It's in the fleshy part of the back end there. And then it does all that kind of stuff. That's how they punish them in other countries. Now, you may think that's cruel and inhumane, but I'm talking about the Apostle Paul having his back laid open like that and them taking a whip and laying that lash across his back until they literally separate that skin from those bones and open that flesh up, and then they take him back there and shove him into the darkest part, and no pain medication and no aspirin and no water and none of that stuff. I can't imagine what that would be like if the Lord hadn't been merciful to him. You see, you think God gives them grace in a time like that? He must do something for them. Maybe He's merciful to them, and maybe He gives them an extra dose of grace so they can endure the pain. I can't imagine what it is, but what I've read about in history is true, they pass out from the pain. The pain is so great, they pass out from the pain. Sometimes persecution, ladies and gentlemen, is not just somebody talking about you or making fun of you. And believe it or not, it doesn't just come from church people and all that. I get a little tired of people talking about church people being bad people all the time. Well, we're the only people that we got, so we are what we are. But not everybody's bad. But real persecution, real trouble begins to happen. You know what you need to say? Lord, I'm begging you. Can you give me mercy? I'm able to obtain mercy. Lord, I'm begging for mercy. Did you ever read that passage where you come boldly before the throne? He's saying one of the reasons you come boldly is to ask Him for mercy.
Amen.
You ever ask Him to get you out from under the tribulation you're under? Or do you want to just try to bear it yourself? But you're not that full of pride, are you? Lord, have mercy on me. I can't carry it. Why would you carry something you don't have to carry?
Amen.
Some of you still carry the burden of past sins. You won't let the Lord have it. Well, you ought to turn it loose. Another time is during times of poverty or difficulty. There's some things that money can't buy. Sometimes there's severe poverty when it comes to loneliness. Poverty is not just I can't pay my bills and can't buy food for my table or electricity or those kind of things. Sometimes poverty is not having your needs met. Your husband's not what he needs to be, or your wife's not what she needs to be, or you don't have a person around you or somebody to help you, to be a helpmeet to you. That can be a severe poverty. Lord, be merciful to me. I can't take it. I'm lonely. Are you single people that live by yourself? Or if you, sometimes there's married people, and I'm being serious, I'm not going to say this in a funny way, but there's sometimes that people get married and they live in the same house and they're just as lonely as if they were out on a desert by themselves. Amen. They don't have a relationship. They don't talk to each other. They don't share things together. They do their own separate things and they're in the same house, but they're not even having any kind of just movement. That's all it is, just around there. Lord, be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. Be merciful to me. Now, one of the things you want to use when it comes to prayer is to ask the Lord. You say, Lord, there's some promises you made. Yeah, Lord, you promised to be merciful to me. I can come and ask you for it to help me in time of need. That's just a few things you might need. Look at James chapter 4. I'm already running out of time. Let me give you at least one more here, and I'll cover this other one later. When it comes to coming to God boldly, ladies and gentlemen, let me just make this suggestion to you. Don't grit your teeth and try to grin and bear it. Beg God to be merciful to you. God has got a wrench to fit every nut in this place. God can make the strongest of you men in here cry like a little schoolgirl. Don't ever just sit there and say, God, go ahead, I can take it, I'll handle it. Like, don't right off the bat say, Lord, I'm a punk, I'm a kid, I can't handle it, I can't take the pressure, be merciful to me, be merciful to me, be merciful to it. Boy, I'm going to wear you out. I know you can. I don't have any doubt about it. Be merciful to Him. Beg Him to be merciful. Don't be proud. Don't sit there and say, I can take it. I know that fellow, I've used the illustration before, sat on the second row there and fell out during the invitation. I used it not long ago. He fell out during the invitation and he's down there gritting his teeth and he's feel like an elephant sitting on his chest and his arms all drawled up, his left arm and all that. And the preacher goes down there and he says, listen, don't you want to trust Jesus Christ? You see, this might be the last time you're able to breathe. And don't you want to, and the guy grits his teeth and through those gritted teeth, he says, I'm a very proud man. No, you're not. You're a fool. I'll gut it out. I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, well, I'll go to hell. All my friends will be there. I said, well, you won't see them. He said, well, it don't make no difference. I can handle it. I said, you can pay for your own sins? He said, yeah. And I said, I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about forever till God dies. He said, well, I guess we'll see. And I said, I guess we will. He said, "What? That's just pride. Amen. You know what you're saying when you're getting saved? Have you ever thought about this? Be merciful to me, a sinner. Don't give me what I deserve. Be merciful to me. I can't take it. The Lord says, well, you don't have to. I took it for you. It wasn't designed for you anyway. It was designed for the devil and his angels. And so you want out? Yes, sir. Why? Because I can't take it. Okay, fine. No problem. I'll save you. You want to grab a hold of that. All right. Chapter number 4, the book of James. Many people nowadays are saying you want a lift. They want you to get a lift with an energy drink or caffeine or something like that along the way. This lift right here comes from doing something with the Lord. Look in James chapter number 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Let's say that again. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. It's not backwards. God will draw to you and then you draw nigh to God. It's you draw nigh to God. Show Him you want to see Him. Draw nigh to God, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded, be afflicted and mourn, weep, your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He'll lift you up. Now do you know why you don't feel the lift? Because it requires humility. Humble yourself. He doesn't say, let God humble you. God can humble you. You ever heard this prayer? God, make me willing to be willing. Well, what does God want to do that for? Then you're not willing. You're being willing against your own will. You ever notice how powerful God is? So powerful that He can sling star clusters into existence. He can make planets as an afterthought. He names all the stars up there. He can split the earth in half. He can drown out the entire universe and then open it up and create a whole new solar system and then put man on it and so on and so forth. As powerful as He is, He never overrides your will. You can do whatever you want to do. You can do what you Johnny well please. Isn't that something? As powerful as God is, He never wants to say, Lord, make me willing to be willing. The Lord's like, what do I want to try to turn you into a robot for? The issue is, as the little girl, Huntingfield girl asked me today, why, if God knew that we were going to die when He made us, what'd He make us for? That's a big thought for a little kid.
Amen.
Why did He do it? I'll tell you why. So that you had the free will to choose to love Him and choose to live for Him so He could have you for bragging rights for later on in eternity. It's for His glory. That's why He left you around and didn't wipe you out back in the days of Noah.
Amen.
It's for Him. That's a blessing. God leaves you around and says, do you love me? Good. Show everybody you love me.
Amen.
And you show Him by what you do. You're showing Him that tonight. That's why you're here. That's a mighty big question. But here's the problem. God, we want you to do something. He said, well, humble yourself. That means you have to take real inventory of yourself. Now, I don't have time to go into it. We'll go into it more later on because I know we got this thing to do here. But I want to give you just a couple of things on this thing about humility. Joseph was in jail and God lifted him up. That true? Put him on a throne. David ran from Saul and God lifted him up and put him on the throne there. Jesus Christ was lifted up on a cross and then He winds up taking care. But every one of those three guys I just gave you right there has one thing in common. They all had the ability to humble themselves. Well, everybody wants the lift, but nobody wants the price that comes with the lift. They don't want to pay the price. You say, why? It's conditional. Don't kid yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Come to Romans chapter 12. Keep that thought in mind. Humble yourself and He'll lift you up. Come to Romans chapter number 12. Be realistic about your spirituality. If you really think you're something, then you might want to check up. Because anybody that's spiritual doesn't think they're anything. But they don't go around telling everybody that they don't really think they're spiritual. Humility is not something you tell people you are, because then you're not. Humility is a trait people see in you because of how you act, not because of what you say. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 3, the Bible says, For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Remember where you are spiritually. Remember your own failures. Stop and think about how many times you've messed up. Don't look at just how good you've done. Humble yourself. You say, what? I ain't always hit it out of the ballpark. I haven't always done right. I haven't always done right by my wife or my husband or my kids or by my job or by my boss. Think about yourself. It'll knock you down pretty quick if you just think about how many times you failed. Now, don't dwell on it, but in humbling yourself, you know what you have to do? You have to stop and think for a minute how many times you stepped out of bounds and God's had to whip you back in bounds because you would not listen to Him when He called to you. Now, I don't know about you, but I know when God's getting my attention.
Amen.
Not just for me. You say, oh, you're so spiritual. Get over yourself and listen to me for just a second. When God's getting on to you, ladies and gentlemen, at least in my case, I know it's God dealing with me.
Amen.
I can go through and bang my head on a door or something like that and go, oh, boy, I knew that was coming. God will say, I told you, stupid. He deals with me with a 4x4. Other times I hit my head on the door and just say, well, you should have paid attention. But there's times when it happens and the Lord will say, you ready to listen now?
Amen.
There's times when something falls all apart in my life and God says, you sure you want me without you want to go through life without my hand on you? You can still be saved and me not be with you. Now, how many times have I warned you? And that whip comes out, man, you can hear that thing singing through the air and it's like, okay. Well, you say, what do? You want to remember that sometimes. You say, why? It'll keep you humble.
Sure.
The old preacher used to say, stay humble or you stumble. Recall how many times God's had to put you under. One way or the other, humble yourself. Draw back sometimes and realize that none of us are anything if God didn't operate through us.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be taking credit for something that God did. If you got through something, God got you through it. If you didn't get through it, God was with you through it in spite of it. You managed to be successful in business, careful. God did that. You didn't do that. Well, no, I studied and all. Yeah, okay. All right, go ahead. you're going to have a hard time with the Lord lifting you up. The reason some of you are flatter than a cotton-picking pancake is because the fact is, when it comes to Bible-believing Christians, for some reason, everything we know has kind of gone to our head. And we've gotten this idea that we're more spiritual than other people because we know more about rightly dividing in the King James Bible, and we know things as far as knowledge, but we know anything about humility at all. We can knock a charismatic in the head right quick because they don't know nothing about tongues or anything else. They're all full of emotion, and we know all the verses and how the thing lays down, but we have the attitude of a cotton-picking rattlesnake,
right,
and we don't come across it with a spirit of humility at all. What is humility? It's not, you know, self-putting yourself down. Some of you are just proud. You like worship of yourself. Will worship in the book of Colossians. It's like, you know, I like people to pay attention to me. I guess some of you didn't get much appreciation when you were coming up or something. But now that you're saved, you have the ability to do all things through Christ that strengtheneth you. And it'd be good for all of us to take a big, giant dose of humility tonight.
Yes,
and if you don't humble yourself, God will humble you.
Right.
You say, why? He can't stand somebody being lifted up. You say, why? Well, it goes all the way back to the very beginning. The devil was lifted up in pride, according to the book of Isaiah. And when he did, the Lord said, I'm going to bring you down because you got to thinking you were something when you were nothing, and I'll humble you if you won't humble yourself. But in the book of James, he's talking about your prayer life, and what he's saying is that you want to get lifted up and ask me to lift you up and ask me to help you, then humble yourself. Now, that's just a biblical principle that's laid out there. Oh, I need a lift, preacher. Oh, he says, humble yourself. Well, no, I just need God to lift me up. Humble yourself. Well, I know, but I'm just going through some trouble right now, and I need God to help me out. Humble yourself. Yeah, I know, but I don't need to humble myself right now. I got trouble. Humble yourself.
Amen.
And the Lord will lift you up.
Amen.
But boy, that's a hard one. If you can't tell, there's a whole message there. Humility is one of the most difficult things to obtain. It's hard. It's the opposite of conceit. Conceit's the only disease that makes everybody else around you sick.
Amen.
And so if you want to get God to lift you up tonight, then what you have to do is maybe look over the fact that if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be where you are right now.
Amen.
And if it wasn't for God, a lot of us wouldn't even be alive right now.
Amen.
And God's helped you even when you didn't know God was helping you and protecting you even when God... And so when you didn't know He was protecting you, so you have to draw yourself back and say, Lord, you know what? You've been better to me than I deserve, and mean it.
Amen.
You're not in a race with each other. I hope you'll get that.